The processional hymn 646, we omit verse 3. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Our service on this fifth Sunday after Trinity. We follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus said, "Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry And we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name and through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, "Amos, what do you see?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then the Lord said to me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small, and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, 'Surely I shall never forget any of their deeds.' Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshy body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ritual hymn 145, You Servants of the Lord.
Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from the gospel we have just read. St. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Mary has chosen the better part. As one reads the few verses that describe the visit of Jesus to the house of Martha and Mary, what is there that may be learned? Verse 38 of chapter 10 says, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." It seems an odd verse. It is also the home of Mary and of their brother Lazarus, whom Jesus raises from the dead in St. John chapter 11. But St. Luke, who is careful in what he writes, trying to set down an orderly account, uses the words "her home." Is Luke saying something, either consciously or unconsciously, about who was the power, so to speak, in the house, about who was in charge of things? What can be made of Martha? Perhaps everyone knows people like her, people who dominate their families, or perhaps some who have had to be, like Martha themselves, take charge of things, even if there was no wish to do so. If there had to be the choice to be Martha or to be Mary, which of them would be chosen? Verse 39 says, "She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying." Mary seems very different from Martha, with such different personalities. Had they clashed before? It seems unlikely that there would not have been disagreements at times. Perhaps Mary is so accustomed to being told by her sister what she should be doing each day that when an opportunity comes to just sit down and listen to Jesus, Mary seizes it. How would Mary be seen now? Perhaps she is a daydreamer. It is hard to imagine Mary, say, on a farm. Perhaps the cows would not have been milked and the hay would not have been saved. Perhaps Mary would be seen as one of those people who is so heavenly minded that they are no earthly use. Or perhaps she would have been seen differently. Perhaps she would be seen as someone who is quiet, but who is just as serious in her faith. If one looks at St. John chapter 11, it tells of Martha going out to meet Jesus and telling Jesus that her brother Lazarus would not have died if Jesus had been there. Martha declares her faith in Jesus. Then in St. John chapter 11, verse 28, it is clear that Jesus treats Mary as just as important as the more vocal Martha. St. John says, Martha went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling you." Jesus takes Mary seriously. St. Luke chapter 10, verse 40 then says, "But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself?'" Martha seems only concerned with doing things. Martha seems as though she has decided to do her entire spring clean just as Jesus has arrived. Now either she is doing things she does not need, to be doing at that moment, or she is letting the things that she has to do become blown out of their right proportions. This is a modest household in first century Palestine. Martha could not have had so much to do that there was not 5 minutes to sit down and be quiet. There are always more things that can be done if one looks for them, particularly if one lives on a farm. But no one works every waking moment. There is always 5 minutes somewhere in the day to sit down and think. It is easy to be like Martha, making great lists of things to do, knowing that many of them would keep until tomorrow, and never having time to just sit down and be quiet. Martha seems almost childish in her request to Jesus, "Tell her then to help me." It is like children who assume that the arrival of a visitor means that the usual rules do not apply. Are people now sometimes childish themselves in their friendship with Jesus, having fits of pique when things do not go the way they would wish? Is there a temptation sometimes to protest to God about the behavior of others when his protest is simply about not getting one's own way? No one knows the tone of voice in which Martha spoke, but it would hardly have sounded very mature. Jesus seems familiar with the tensions in the household. Perhaps this is not the first time he has encountered a disagreement between the sisters. Perhaps Mary does tend to be a daydreamer, and perhaps Jesus feels sympathy for Martha, who has always had to be the practical person. Jesus speaks gently to Martha in verse 44. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." Jesus does not say that these things do not matter, only that they should not be a worry and a distraction. How good are people at avoiding worries and distractions? Those who would teach about time management would say there is a need to distinguish between those things that are urgent and important and those things that are urgent but unimportant. Sometimes because something is urgent and demands attention, it is assumed that it must be a priority when it might be something entirely trivial. One can find that one spends time giving immediate attention to things that ask responses straight away and then neglects the important things that should be done. Jesus tells Martha in verse 42, "There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part." Jesus' challenge to Martha is whether the things of God are a priority over all the other daily concerns. Mary believes they are. Martha has not stopped to think about it. The concerns of everyday domestic life have caused Martha to lose sight of who it is that is speaking to her. How could Martha be fussing over kitchen things when Jesus was teaching those who were gathered in the house? Jesus tells Martha that what Mary has chosen will not be taken away from her. The words Mary has heard, the teaching she has learned, the memories she will recall from that moment will live for her for the rest of her life. It is like being taught to read and write or being taught how to do sums. The teaching of Jesus brings something that cannot be taken away. How much value is placed upon these things? Are most people living in the here and now always busy with the busyness of everyday life? People who set store on the material things of this life? Are there some who have accepted words of Jesus that cannot be taken from them? People need to be both Mary and Martha, to bring together in their lives both a desire to get on and do things and the desire to stop and to look for God and to listen to what he says. The story of Mary and Martha is needed to help keep life in balance. When being so caught up with material things, there is a need of the reminder that Jesus gives, that Mary has chosen the better part. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We believe in one God. The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hear the prayers which we make in faith. We bring you our prayers for the church, the world, and those whom we love. We remember that we each have our own individual relationship with Jesus, be it like Martha or Mary, but it is one of complete faith. It is in that faith that we are confident our prayers are heard and lovingly answered. Lord, in your mercy. God, we worship and praise you together with our Christian brothers and sisters across the world. Protect and strengthen all those who are persecuted for their faith. With all your church, we pray for those who are longing and yearning for freedom. Guide us and them as we seek to grow in our faith, that we may be led by the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, your world is a busy place and its leaders worry about so many things. Teach them the things that are necessary: justice for the oppressed and exploited, compassion for the hungry and destitute, peace between individuals, communities and nations. Give to Charles our King the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, Secretary of State, Hilary Benn, and all those in positions of responsibility, the revelation that Christ is Lord of all, that he may rule in their hearts and direct their power into the way of love. Lord, in your mercy. Savior God, people often lead very busy lives, worrying unnecessarily about so many things. Teach them the things that are necessary: health and loving relationships, purpose and spiritual depth in life, caring for those who need comfort and help. Give us and them the blessing of quietness and time for reflection to be close to you. Lord, in your mercy. Spirit of God, your church is often a busy community, rushing around, making arrangements, planning events. Teach your church the things that are necessary: a joyful and obedient faith in you, a self-giving love for this parish and the wider community, unity and love for one another. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, the caring and medical profession is often a busy place, stretched to the limit. time poor with limited resources. Teach those with the power to implement change the things that are necessary. Provision for adequate funding, skilled and knowledgeable staff, a suitable attitude when caring for the sick, the lonely, the mentally ill, and the dying. Lord, in your mercy. Father of all, in all the business of life, may there be time for quiet reflection, a sense of peace, and the comfort of your presence for those whose lives are drawing to a close. Teach us and those who mourn the things that are necessary. Appreciation for lives well lived. Confident that those who have died in faith are now welcomed into your eternity. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. Merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. For gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you. Today there is another chance to contribute to the collection begun last week for the mission to seafarers. So the loose collection at today's service will be in favor of that. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 431, we omit verses 3 and 4. Omitting verses 3 and 4, Lord enthroned in heavenly splendor.
Thank you.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. We follow the First Communion prayer on page 209. At the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us, even when we turned away from you. You never ceased to care for us, but in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Of Christ to keep you in eternal life. Blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Thank you. Holy and blessed God, as you give us the body and blood of your Son, guide us with your Holy Spirit, that we may honor you not only with our lips, but also with our lives, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. The recessional hymn 603, When We Walk with the Lord.
Peace to love.